let's look into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and be reading, beginning with verse 1 through 8. Walking in holiness, which is a life pleasing to the Lord. I'm looking at doing maybe a series on these first 8 verses, so we'll see how it goes today and see how it develops for next Sunday. But looking at verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, then brethren, we request." Now in the KJV, I believe that I beseech. And then the new KJV says urge. And the New American Standard says request. We request. Now, Paul's not only talking about himself, but he's talking about him and Silas and those that are working with Paul, ministering to the Thessalonian church. So we request and we exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instructions as how to you ought to walk and to please God just as you actually do walk. Now they weren't walking, but now he's encouraging them to keep it up, keep it on, that you excel still even more. For you know what commandment we gave you by the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, that authority didn't come from Paul. It came from Jesus Christ. In verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification being set apart, what that means, that is that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who did not know God, but now we do know God. That was then. In verse 6, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the manner, because the Lord is the avenger in all of these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for a purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God, who gives his spirit to you. If we could go back to the first chapter, chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 3, we would see that Paul is talking about more personal things. One of those would be, in chapter 1, the ideal church. And Paul was a apostle. He was a man of God who went about starting new churches. Actually, he went to 135 different areas, countries, surroundings, starting churches, being a missionary to all the people he came in contact. So, and he talks about in first chapter how to be an ideal church. And then in chapter 2, he talks about an ideal servant, how to be a servant, how to serve the Lord. And then in chapter 3, how to disciple others to help them to be servants of Christ. And now that we come to chapter 4, he gets very practical in his delivery of what it is to walk with the Lord. Talking about your church, talking about how to be a servant and a disciple of the Lord. And that's why he says in verse 1, I beseech you, or urge you, or request. It's almost like someone getting down on their hands and knees and they begging you. I plead with you to keep on walking even more what you have already learned from me and Silas and those who are leading you to walk with the Lord. And that exhort means it's a command to do likewise, to walk. And when you look in this particular chapter, walking is the key word here in this chapter. How many of you like to walk? Yeah. It's good for you, isn't it? Actually, it's better than running. It's lighter on the joints, right? And it still gets you good exercise and so forth. This walk is also found in verse 12. And why is the Christian compared to the walk? Well, if you want to get anywhere, you got to walk, right? You got to get up and you got to walk. You got to get there. You don't get there by sitting or just spinning your wheels. So, a good indication or a good example of those who walked with God in the Old Testament, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Also, Noah walked with God. And then also you find where Abraham told his servants to walk with God. So, the whole book of the Bible, the Holy Word of God, tells us all the way from Genesis to the Revelation that we are to walk with the Lord. It's good for us. It's good exercise, right? And it does you a lot of good spiritually when you walk with the Lord. Now, there are five things I want us to look at this morning. Five reasons a Christian life is compared as a walk. And first of all, walking requires life. You got to be alive, right? Before you can walk. You need energy. You know how the best way to get energy? You got to make it. You got to make it. And that's a good way. And I'll just leave it with that. You got to make energy to get up and do things and walk. So something dead cannot rise up and walk, can it? But many try through what used to be called or is called reformation. But the Bible says, be ye transformed, the renewing of your mind, that you might be a good service. And it is perfect and acceptable to God. That's Romans 12:2. Now, some try to turn over a new leaf. But they really need the whole new tree, don't they? The whole tree. You know, that's how you do it. See, reformation is like a bottomless cup. There's nothing there. But when it comes to transformation, it transforms your whole life, your view, everything about you. Because too often we are trying to fill ourselves up too often with self, and that doesn't work. And nothing plus nothing still equals what? Nothing. So we need to tap into something else outside ourselves, something much more effective. Now, something which can change us from the inside out. Something big enough to fill us and to fulfill our lives. Now, we need life. We need life. We need Jesus says, I give you an abundant life. Life that is fulfilling, one with joy. And life with joy, you know, there's no stopping you. You can do anything because nothing is impossible with God if we're willing to be his vessels. Now, the second thing is walking requires growth. So walking requires life. It also requires growth. It's not only, you know, it's not only dead men that cannot walk, but also babies cannot walk. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect of salvation. Life starts with salvation for the Christian. And then as we grow, we mature, we become more knowledgeable and discernment of the Word of God, His will and His purpose in our lives. In chapters 4, and then looking over into chapter 5, gives us several areas that we need to walk in. So as it's a sure sign of maturity and growth when we are willing to walk in these things. So you and I are to walk in holiness. The Bible says we are to walk in love, obedience, honesty, love, hope. And also there, I'm going to throw in this word, gratitude. Be thankful. Be grateful that God allows us to walk in His paths. He lays out the map. He lays out the instructions. And the Word of God is the instructions that we are to use. So, walking requires growth. See, when you got saved, you got the mechanism you need. He gave you everything through the Spirit. But now you need nourishment. You need practice. And that's why chapter 4 is a practical chapter of how to walk with the Lord. He gives us everything we need. And for the mechanics, to all that makes it work. Now, watch out for that which will stunt your growth. Self-will and disobedience will stunt your growth spiritually. So when we say no to God, we throw what I call a monkey wrench into the mechanism. Never say no to God. Never say no to God. When God lays something on your heart, and when He shows you something from His Word, take it because it's what you need at the time. And when we don't feel like doing something as far as reading or taking time for devotion or praying, you know what? That's when we need it the most. That ensures us that we're able to walk in upright with the Lord when we do that. See, God is under no obligation to continue blessing us and continuing nourishment if we fiddle with the machine, our lives. If we don't stay on track with Him, He's in no obligations to bless us. See, He loves to reveal truth to us, but He doesn't have to. He doesn't reveal truth to us so that we may consider it, but so that we may obey it. That's why He reveals truth to us, so we will obey it. So how can some who have been saved for decades still be so spiritually immature? One reason is because we're not always into the Word of God. We're not always reading. We're not always praying. We're not always seeking the ways of God. Somewhere in the past, maybe they moved into their own direction of self-will. They took a detour and from pure truth onto the fork in the road to go sometimes in their own way. And maybe they are still heading in a good direction. You know, most Christians are headed in the right direction or a good direction, but not the best direction. They aren't heading towards the world. They're not going in that direction because we know better as Christians, but also not heading towards Jesus, but rather to another goal of their own design. So, or maybe there's something that they aren't willing to obey. See, that comes from the will, obeying. And see, the Holy Spirit is right there to sensitize our hearts, to give us an understanding that God's will is always the best way. If we don't do that, see, the train stops right there. We stop growing. So walking requires life. Walking requires growth. Now, walking requires liberty or the freedom. What if your legs are bound? Even though you can walk, you're physically fit. Even if you have the strength to walk, if you are bound by something, then you can't do that. You can't move. You can't grow spiritually. And in Psalms 119:45, it says, "And I will walk at liberty." See, we have the freedom. Anyone in Christ has the freedom. We have access to anything that God has right before us. We have the freedom. The psalmist says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. You see, that's one thing. We seek it. And if we seek it, we will find it. And as we find it, we walk continually in the precepts of the Lord, what the psalmist is saying here. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." There is that freedom. See, this morning, the Spirit is here. The presence of the Lord is here. So he gives each and every one of us the liberty to listen, the liberty, the freedom to grasp. And where the Lord is, we have that freedom. We're not constrained. Where the Lord is, you have that freedom. You can have it at home. As a child of God, you have that freedom. A few minutes ago, I mentioned that gratitude. We need to be grateful and thankful that we have freedom. You know, we talk about freedom in our nation. We have freedom to choose, to speak, to do things that a lot of other countries don't. But our ultimate freedom comes in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should never, ever take that for granted, because that is something most precious than anything on this earth, is having the freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us to serve him, to love him, to care for one another. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." And that calling comes through Jesus Christ. He offers us that salvation. And it says, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, and we are to serve one another." So, the Bible speaks of a lot of things like that. But when it comes to our freedom and liberty, we should use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, not only that, walking also requires light. Awesome that we sung about that light. Send the light. Go light your world. It's hard to walk in the darkness, isn't it? Ever tried to walk through the house in the dark? In your own house? Even though that you know your house, you know every room, but the light's off. You ever tried walking and going to your bedroom or something like that? Well, ever tried to, I did this not long ago. Brenda had a box, boxed up something. She told me to take it upstairs. And I said, I would do that. But you know what? I didn't do it right then. A few days lapsed, and it was sitting at the foot of the steps. I come around the corner, lights off, and guess what? I found it. I went head over heels and landed right on, face down on the floor. It hurt. You know how that is. I should have turned on the light, shouldn't I? Yeah. Yes, that's right. I should have done that, but I wasn't expecting a box. I was expecting freedom to walk, and no problem. Well, I was also getting ready for bed one here recently, and I was going to go upstairs to do something, but the light's off again, and I thought I was ready to step on the first step, but I hadn't got there yet, and stumped my toe, and that hurt as well. I should have flipped on the light. And then just here the other night, I decided I was going to start turning on lights as I walked through the house. And Brenda had already gone to bed, and I disturbed her by flipping the lights on because I was going room to room looking for something. And she said, "Do you have to turn every light of the house on?" Remember that? I said, "I do." Because I don't want to fall or stump my toe anymore. So, we need light, don't we? And walking in light requires connecting to Lord Jesus Christ. See, walking requires light, and I'm glad that Jesus is the light, and we can walk in the light in the midst of a dark world. Now, that's a neat song that the choir sang a while ago. Go light your world. You can't do that if your light is not shining already. And that's what that song means. And the song we sung earlier than that was "Send the Light." Well, we are the light. We send the lights to able to minister and witness to others as well, that they might walk truly, as Paul talks about here in 1 Thessalonica chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another." Boy, nothing like good fellowship, is there? Fellowship like we have here at the Versailles Baptist Church. And then it says, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses of all sin." So, the light is necessary for the Christian if we want to walk in the newness of life as well. And then walk requires progress. See, you aren't really walking unless you're going somewhere. Right? How many of you have a treadmill? You don't have to raise your hand, but you have a treadmill in your house, right? And I've heard so many people say, "I don't need a treadmill because I might use it one or two times and then it just sits there." But when you think about it, why does people wear earphones for music and all this other stuff or put a TV in front of it? Because it's pretty boring, isn't it? Not only that, on a treadmill, you are going where? Nowhere. You're going nowhere. You're just spinning your legs. I would say tires, but you're not spinning your wheels either. But you're not going anywhere. As Christians, we don't need to be just on a treadmill, just spinning our legs, going nowhere. There may be a lot of effort involved, but you are still going nowhere real fast. So, what does all this mean? Can you see progress in your spiritual life? And that's what Paul is saying. You are growing. And I'm excited about that, but he said it doesn't stop there. I want you to continue on. Grow more and more and more. Because it's not only beneficial for our life individually or personally. And that's what is so practical about this chapter Paul was talking about. See, you ought to be able to look back and see progress over the years as well as just this past week or this past year. You should see progress in your walk with the Lord. Why is it so beneficial? Because walking in holiness is pleasing to God. As the scripture just told us, it's very pleasing to God. Now, many of us have started the journey many, many years ago, and it should be fresh and new each day. And when it doesn't feel fresh or new, that is a good time to just stop and evaluate your spiritual life. Lord, what am I doing wrong? How many of you, if you're doing something and it's not working, stop and say, what am I doing wrong? We don't try to keep doing the same thing over and over and get new results, right? But we ask the Lord, what am I doing? What am I not doing spiritually that I am growing? So maybe it's not getting involved. Maybe it's not walking uprightly with the Lord like Noah, like Enoch, and Abraham. Well, the Lord points that out vividly in the scriptures, that they walked with the Lord. So it's an evaluation of our life, saying, Lord, what am I not doing that I might walk with you closer, that I really feel that joy, that excitement that I'm accomplishing or getting somewhere in my life. It's a good evaluation each day as you approach the Lord, as you pray. Prayer will enrich your life. A good daily prayer, whether it be in the morning, all day long, or in the attitude of prayer. Not just when something occurs in our life that we need to pray, but always be in the attitude or the mode of prayer. Because God, see, that's walking with the Lord. He's right there with you. He's right there hand in hand with you, walking as you walk, helping you grow. Prayer helps you grow. Reading God's word helps you grow. Studying God's word helps you grow. Witnessing to someone helps you grow. Reaching out to someone helps you grow. There's many things in our life that helps us grow along with the Lord, helps us to be mature in our lives, in our thinking, in our dedication, obedience to the Lord. It helps to take a daily examination. Each day, Lord, am I closer to you than I was yesterday, or have I drifted? It won't take long for you to be able to hear that answer to the Lord, from the Lord, where you are in perspective with him. If we're not going forward, guess what? We might be drifting backward a little bit in our spiritual walk. Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It gives you the practical application of how to walk with the Lord. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you that you love us and you care for us. And you want us to walk with you, because you're ready to walk with us. You'll go the whole distance with us to help us understand what your will and what you want us to do daily in our lives in serving you and reaching out, letting our light shine, sending forth the light as well. Lord, salvation is a necessity in each one of our lives that we might spend eternity with you. And walking with you daily gives us a greater insight of what heaven's going to be like one of these days. That we'll be walking the streets of gold. We'll be walking hand in hand with one another, serving you, worshiping you, and doing all of the things, Lord, that we have been practicing here on this earth. If we won't never reach that plateau here, but Lord, we can surely work on it. That's why we are to show progress in our walk with you. Lord, help us, Lord, to be open and sensitive to your Holy Spirit this morning as you reach out and you call each one of us by name and you identify right in our life what is needed for us to walk with you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray this prayer. Amen. This morning, our hymn of invitation is 332. Without him, we can do nothing. With him, we can do all things. So let's stand as we sing our closing.